Reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
Brought to you by AmericaCitizenPress.com and Julie McCallan, Dr. Julie McCallan and Denver Synergetics. Happy and Monday.
Thank you. And we'll be having a new sponsor, Happy Trees, which
right.
We'll talk to you a lot more
next week.
They're busy beautifying our yard right now. And they're doing a tremendous
thank you.
Job.
Yeah, so to Chris and the guys, yeah.
Chris and the guys. So we want to welcome them as a new sponsor.
Exactly. We've got Laurel Eimer coming up here in a little bit at about 3:30. She got a great endorsement today from Patrick Neville,
yeah,
which is really good.
Yeah.
But we're going to get Dave Williams on the phone. Representative Dave, let's go Brandon Williams. He is running against Doug Lamborn in CD5 in El Paso County. And he is one of the few, and in fact, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, as far as I've seen, Lauren Boebert was tweeting about it, one of the only Colorado lawmakers to take on essentially this disgusting, insane, evil, drag the kids to pride stuff going on. It's been all over the place. This is Pride Month, and there have been all kinds of parades, drag queen shows, things like that. That are overtly sexual, and kids are there. And there was one, and we'll show you the video in a second. I mean, it's a strip show, basically, and they have little kids. I'm not talking 16-year-olds. I'm talking little kids who are kind of sitting in chairs and their feet are swinging because they don't touch the ground, putting money in the drag queen's underwear. A lawmaker in Texas is introducing a bill to ban that. I mean, you wouldn't think you need a law, but apparently we do. And so thank God for people like Representative Dave Williams who's standing up for this. So, hey, Dave, welcome to the show and thank you for what you're doing on this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's kind of, I don't really know where to begin with this because you think it would be already illegal to bring in children to a bar that, you know, usually requires their customers to be 21 years or older.
Right. I think most zoning laws, I did a little bit of research, Dave, and most zoning laws, the liquor license laws, you can't be under 18 in some of these things
right.
to go into some of, if you have, what do they call them? A sexual oriented business, right? I mean, they have pretty strict zoning laws and pretty, like you said, most 5-year-olds are not allowed in strip clubs.
Yeah, or any place that has alcohol consumption going on normally like that. I mean, restaurants
right.
are obviously, you know, that's a different animal. But this is strictly for sexual entertainment and alcohol consumption, right?
Right.
And that by itself should have prohibited the activity, but that's not what happened. Instead, what you saw in Texas, and I imagine this is going on in other parts of the country, probably here in Colorado as well.
Well, that bar, they've opened up a second one in Denver, so.
Oh, there we go.
Right.
Misters.
Well, I mean, this activity is happening where you have parents who are forcing their children to not only view drag queens who are sexually performing and dancing, but also encouraging their children and even forcing them to perform with the drag queen.
Yeah.
And before I get too far in this, I do want to say, look, you know, it's bad enough that it is a drag queen, but I would still be outraged even if it was, you know, a run of the mill heterosexual,
exactly.
you know, non-drag queen sexual event. These kids should be learning about reading, writing, arithmetic and you know, playing with toys, not being subjected to creeps.
Well, so, and Dave, you know, you raise a really good point. If you were to say, if you were to own a strip club in Denver and you started sending your strippers in dressed like strippers to read for kindergarten, nobody, you, of course, people would be outraged. They would say, you can't do that, right? If you were to say that, you know, we're going to send, you know, we're going to take kids to strip clubs and we're going to let the kids sit around the poles and stick money in the strippers' G-strings, people would be like, of course you can't do that. The reason, I mean, that to me is one of the most outrageous things, right? For some reason, it's okay because these people are transgender, or they claim, you know, they, it's like somehow or another, it's okay to sexualize and to groom children. I mean, the word for that is pedophilia. That's just, wake up, folks, that pedophilia somehow is okay as long as it involves transgender people. I mean, that's the bizarre thing that I don't even begin to understand.
What? I mean, and if you, and by the way, I mean, I posted some of this on Twitter, but if you go to the original people who reported on this event, who even were able to sneak in and get video footage of it, they interviewed one of the drag performers, and that person said that they thought that this type of activity would encourage the children to also become drag queens and engage in that type of, I mean, they are grooming these kids. They are trying to get them to become transgendered and to become, you know, drag queens, and then continue on, you know, in this behavior. And the problem with doing that is that children, they're children, they're minors. They shouldn't be trying to decide whether or not they're, you know, some other gender. I mean, this is insanity. And by the way, if you look at all the statistics on this issue, people that are transgendered, they don't typically have a great life. Their suicide rates are among the highest, and they have huge mental health problems, and a lot of times they're legitimate creeps. I mean, if you look at some of the stuff that was reported by these guys who infiltrated the bar about the performers, you'll find out that they're unsavory characters. They really are legitimate creeps who want to harm children.
And I think, again, as you said, it would be inappropriate to, I mean, for teachers or for parent, not parents, but other adults, for any adult to be talking to a child, particularly like a five-year-old child, about who they're having sex with and who the kid should have sex with. I mean, that's just a completely inappropriate conversation.
Well, and you're sexualizing children at a young age, and that's, I don't know any society that think that's a good idea.
No.
It just doesn't think it's a good idea.
No, not at all. But there was a great idea by, you know, people were really commentating on this on social media during the weekend. And I can't remember specifically who they were, but it was a great idea about how we need to go ahead and push this issue politically, especially as conservative Republicans. Push the issue, outlaw the practice, which I think most people would agree with, and then force Democrats to defend it, because they will. That's how insane the Democrat Party is. They will defend. They will defend parents forcing their children to put dollar bills in the G-strings of drag queens.
And let me so folks know what we're talking about, wrong. Dave, because it is. And that's exactly, I want to get into that, but let me play in case folks haven't seen a little bit, because we found some of the video that was being posted. So if we could just play, so you can see what we're talking about. And if, hey, Thomas, if you could just play the drag bar video, please. He's just taking money from his kids. And then you can see little kids' feet don't even reach the floor. And then, and I'm going to apologize because I'm going to say something crude here, but the sign, I don't know if you could see the whole sign in the back there, but the sign said, it's not going to lick itself. Okay, so that's the sign that's in the background where these people are performing. And Dave, I think you're right. I think that not only do Republicans need to push it because it's the right thing to do to protect our kids, but I think you're right. I think you need to put Democrats in a position of saying, oh, no, this kind of stuff is okay.
Yeah, I want an answer from our first openly gay governor, Jared Polis, on this. This is a guy... Mm-hmm. who's not only using his own, you know, personal wealth to promote pride, but also government resources to promote Pride Month. And I want to know, is he proud of this? Because this is supposedly a part of that movement. I want to know, is this what we're talking about when we're talking about Pride Month? We're talking about getting little kids as young as, I mean, there were some that were even younger than 5 years old.
Right.
In front of drag queen striptease dancers and forcing them to put dollar bills in the G-strings of these people. I want to know if Jared Polis thinks that's okay. And I guarantee you he won't answer that question because he knows the voters don't want to hear that. But I bet you he approves of it. I bet you he, at least passively approves of it and gives a wink towards that behavior.
Well, and you know what's even more sad, Dave, is there won't be a single person in any media organization in Colorado that will actually ask him that question. You know, what do you think? Well, what are you talking about? So you're writing a letter. I mean, you're not just talking about this. You're actually doing something about it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I intend to write my colleagues. You know, I mean, I can't control the Democrats, but I can at least, engage my Republican colleagues and see if they're willing to agree that, hey, let's have a special session and let's pursue this legislation.
What is required for a special session?
What's that?
What is required to have a special session?
There's two ways to do a special session. One, the governor can call it, or two, I believe it's 2/3 of the legislature, the chamber, can request it and it will happen. And, I'm not quite at 41 yet, but I can, or excuse me, 44 yet, but I can at least try to get 24 of my colleagues to sign on to this letter. And I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot. And my guess, unfortunately, is that there are going to be weak-kneed, spineless Republicans in the House and Senate caucus who don't want to even touch this issue, which is politically dumb. Because the voters would be on our side, but two, it's also a moral issue. We should push this. You shouldn't be able to sexualize kids like this. And I don't know why anyone in the Republican Party would be afraid of this. If KB Party and the leadership in the House and Senate said, yep, we're going to pursue one of these issues, but the voters aren't going to disagree with us. They're going to be right there with us because they know it's crazy.
Well, and it has crossed, Dave, it seems to me, a line from, I mean, crossed the line from just being, okay, well, tolerant or accepting, and you want to be able to talk to your kids if they're feeling this way, right? It shouldn't be taboo. And, people may, that's all good. And people can be who they are, et cetera, et cetera. That's one thing. But they have now pushed it to where they are, like you said, they're forcing, you've got sick parents in this woke ideology, forcing five-year-olds to participate in essentially a sexual gratification act for an adult. That's exactly what's going on there, right? And somehow or another, I agree with you absolutely. Why on earth anybody, let alone any Republican, would be afraid to talk about that? If you were to say, well, do you think that letting people take pictures of children for child pornography, is that bad? Should we allow that? I mean, they would say, no, we shouldn't allow that.
Who knows what they'd say?
Well, who knows what they'd say? I mean,
that's where it's all headed. I mean, 10 years ago, you would never have dreamed that this would be a thing that we'd be contending with. And I'm sure 10 years prior to that, some of the things that are going on, we wouldn't have thought would happen, but that's all where it's headed. You know, I mean, how many people who really do want to engage in pedophilia are pushing for the normalization of that? I mean, it's already populating. That thought process is already populating itself in academia. It's only a matter of time before some woke liberal is like, oh, well, we need to take it further. And this is exactly why the Republican Party and conservatives specifically need to push this issue because the voters agree with us, number one, and number two, it's a moral and righteous cause.
You know,
we should be protecting these kids.
Exactly. I remember, like you say, 10 years ago, I remember roughly 10 years ago, this was actually a news story and everybody did it in Denver. Some poor dad who was like a Cub Scout leader took the Boy Scouts to a Hooters restaurant, right? And ended up, it was a massive story, huge scandal. He had to quit being a scout leader, right? That was a Hooters restaurant. Can you imagine now if the same dad were to take the same group of little boys and little girls to a drag queen show, he would be applauded and patted on the back. I mean, that's...
Well, if you took him to Hooters, he'd still be...
Yeah, he'd still be right, exactly.
probably would, right? That's where it's headed. We got to stop it.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk more about your campaign. I got your press release. I don't know if that's for public consumption yet. You can tell me.
Sure. No, it's out there. It's public
okay.
now.
Well, why don't you tell people about it?
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to be filing a criminal complaint against Doug Lamborn for falsely accusing us in his attack ads that he's started putting up just this past week. We didn't get a copy of those ads until about yesterday. So now that we've been able to look at them and see what they've been saying, we now have every right under the law to pursue legal action to hold Doug Lamborn accountable to the fullest extent of the law. So that's what we're doing.
And what's a problem? What's the issue with the ads?
Well, I mean, so this is how I characterize it to people who've been asking me so far. It's kind of hard to prove a negative, right? It's kind of hard to answer the question, when did you stop beating your wife, right? It's those types of accusations that he's leveling. But suffice it to say, he's trying to attack my pro-life record. He's trying to attack my, pro-police, pro-law enforcement record. And he's doing it because he's trying to cover his own tracks, right? I mean, if you look at his record in Washington, he's the one that's been funding Planned Parenthood. He's the one that's been trying to fund, woke critical race theory agenda training for the military. He's the one that's betrayed, Donald Trump, going so far as to work with the Biden regime and the radical Democrats in Colorado to investigate Donald Trump. This is the type of stuff that he's been engaged in, but as a way to deflect from his own failed leadership and poor record, he's accusing me of things that never happened, and he's trying to show that he's the conservative when he's not. He's the rhino establishment candidate, and we got to get rid of him. He's exactly like Scott Tipton. And now is the time to kick him out like Lauren Boebert did 2 years ago.
Well, the only good part about this is he only does it when they're afraid.
They must be worried.
There's an interesting article in Colorado Polls, which sadly is a far-left publication that Jason...
Salzman
and another Jason. But the only ones who report on Republican matters was talking about the fact that O'Day is now terrified of Ron Hanks. And is running all the negative ads out. And Heidi Gnall can't seem to shake off the dogged Greg Lopez. And it's all the way up and down the grassroots are really starting to kind of start to make, at least it appears possibly, make some incredible inroads. And yours would be, I think, just part of that. I mean, he's terrified of you. And he's got to come after you with phony, false statements and hope that people don't already know about you, which they do, and no one questions your bona fide conservative bona fides except somebody who has none in Doug Lamborn. So it's in some ways a compliment to you that he's gotten that desperate.
Yeah, I mean, that's the silver lining, right? We're there. I mean, the only reason you would spend money to attack our campaign is out of desperation and fear, and that's a good sign, but we still got 3 weeks, and so it doesn't change what we do. We're gonna continue putting our message out and contrast, right? I don't mind a good criticism on my own part, and I'll give as much as I take from him. So if he thinks he can punch me and not get punched back, he's got another thing coming.
Well, good. Well, and again, it's because, you know, I think, as I was said at the beginning of the show, I think Lauren Boebert was saying something about this drag show with the kids, right? And so where's Doug Lamborn on it, right? Like you said, not only there are some issues that there's political stuff involved in it, but this is one of those things, you're right, Dave, that this is a moral issue and we have to stand up and protect kids. You wouldn't think you would need a law like this, or you wouldn't think you need a special session to deal with this. You wouldn't think you would be needing to ask the governor, hey, are you okay with this? But you do in this day and age. And I think you're absolutely right, too. I think it's on purpose that they're doing this. I think there is an ultimate design to destabilize society. And they don't care who they destroy, including children in the process.
Yeah, they're sick. They're twisted. If we just simply expose them for who they are, the voters are going to see it and they're going to reject them. The problem is we don't have Republicans, you know, with the spine to stand up and say, hey, look, right? I mean, if you just shine a light on these people, they're going to crumble. The problem is we've got to get people who are willing to shine the light.
And they're not. And
I don't,
not
I'm sorry thing. To say it, but the Republican establishment won't do that.
Yeah. Well, and neither will a lot of the Republican candidates. We have two that are running for House seats that said that we must be more like the Democrats over in Adams County, saying we're a purple county and we must do what the Democrats do, and all the way through. And you're just saying,
No. It's like, take a look at this.
Then they want to know if you're going to, you know, go out and walk with them. And you go, no.
No.
Yeah, so home, no. And if they really want to be more like a Democrat, then register as one. Go run in their primary.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Well, Dave, thank you. Thank you for doing this. And thank you for having the courage to, because, you know, they're going to take shots at you. And we've been on that, you know, on the receiving end of that, too. And it's not fun, but somebody needs to, particularly on this. I mean, you do it for so many issues, particularly, though, when it comes to the kids and what they're trying to do or are doing to the kids. So thank you.
Thank you very much
for doing that. I appreciate it. And we appreciate your time here again today.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you.
That's Dave Williams running for CD5.
Right, ballots dropped today.
Ballots dropped today. You can always still send them money. So,
but you know, and we got Laurel coming up here, and we'll ask her. I just get her reaction on this too, because I know Laurel is very much a pro-family kind of person who's not afraid to speak up, no matter what the establishment does or doesn't do. But you know, there's been a part of me where I've been kind of like, yeah, you know, you kind of want to. I don't know what, there's so much to talk about, and we haven't really gotten into this whole, the drag queen stuff and what they're doing and pushing this on kids. And I think we all need, personally, I think we all need to say, wait a minute, stop. That's not just tolerance. That's not just live and let live. That is actually encouraging people to sexually groom children and little children. It's not, we're not talking about a teenager, 16, 17 year old, a young man, a young woman who is kind of, has questions or issues, right? We're talking about little kids, and we're talking about parents who are taking their kids to these things.
Well,
we're talking about teachers.
We have a lot of people mentioning in our chat about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
Tampa Bay Rays is a baseball team where they dedicated funds for transgender children, operations for children to change ones, which really is a kind of a form of abuse. I mean, you know,
kind of, yeah.
You can, you know, there's plenty of times if you want to change your gender when you can make those decisions. But it's interesting, they tried to make their players all wear pride patches, and some said, no, I'm not,
right,
not going to wear them.
Exactly. And this from, and you guys have been so many great comments, so I'm going to apologize, we can't use them. But this from Charlene. So I thought I'd found a new bakery, but then I see this rainbow cupcake posted on their page. Mm. For heaven's sakes, can we keep sexualization out of the bakery business?
No.
I just want
no.
a pastry, not the promotion of gay pride. What's next? Heterosexual month, transgender month, enough already. Yeah, there was, what was it? The bakery Sensual. That's one place. Okay. If you want to go to La Bakery Sensual, I don't think it exists anymore.
No.
There you can have, they had kind of racy decorations on their cake. But you're absolutely right. And somehow or another, you're the bad guy if you speak up about this. And you're the bad guy if you say, you know, should kids actually be in strip clubs? Mm-hmm. And should kids be exposed to this kind of sexualization? Because
Well, but it's indicative that Dave is somebody who's willing to talk against it.
Right.
you would think it'd be a great issue for Republicans, but Republicans will not, because they'll be terrified to do it.
You know, and why is that, do you think? Is it just, are they afraid of the social media, which now more and more we're finding out the social media is all just bots anyway?
A large percentage of the Republican Party believes the Democrats are better than they are. They just don't fit within, you know, the Democrats wouldn't have them. So they're mild by their very nature, and they're timorous by their very nature. And they certainly believe the Democrats have the better of all issues. And just if Republicans could be a little more like them, we'd all be all set, just a little less extreme.
And I think, and again, I think this is something really a lot of us, all of us need to get involved in, because, you know, I'm not kidding. It was a news story 10 years ago that a Cub Scout master took the boys to Hooters, right? Mm-hmm. That was considered wildly inappropriate. And everybody did a story and he apologized and he got kicked off. He couldn't do it anymore. And yet now we have this kind of stuff, parents taking their kids to essentially drag queen strip clubs and putting money in their, it's underwear, putting it in their G-string, and that's applauded, right? And that's seen as a good thing. So you think—
Growing up is hard enough these days. Going through puberty is hard enough.
They're talking 5-year-olds. We're not even letting them. But I think the thing is, so if we think, you know, I don't want to weigh in on this because I don't want to get in an argument. I don't want people to bash me. I don't want to get banned again. And, you know, surely this will stop. I think we need to quit fooling ourselves and think that surely this will stop, because I don't think it's going to stop. I don't think they have any intention of stopping it. I think we see over and over again, the Democrats have no boundaries. There is no depth that they're like, okay, guys, we can't sink any lower than this. We really can't go any lower than this. Not true. And in the meantime, they're spending all of this, what are they? They hired an ABC, former ABC producer for the January 6th committee. I'm kind of like, how about inflation? I mean, I went to the grocery store this past weekend. You tried to get gas, right? And it's like, whoa, maybe we could hire an ABC producer to do some kind of special and help them figure out how to fight inflation, get some baby formula on the shelf, stuff like that. But
well,
instead,
it's going to be interesting because they obviously believe this is one of their chances before the midterm to change the story and so everybody that our democracy was about to fail. And there was this huge coup at effect when, in fact, the only real perp we haven't heard about is the FBI and the rest of them.
Right. Yeah, there was a conspiracy, just not the kind Liz Cheney's talking about, right? It was a giant conspiracy there. And this from Charlene, we needed an awards night for real conservative, for those who are not afraid to speak truth to power. Yeah. We didn't, and we asked, Laurel was at the Western Conservative Summit and they had some good speakers there, but it's a Western Conservative Summit. I think Colorado Christian University, they're kind of involved in that. You'd think, hopefully, somebody somewhere spoke up against taking your kids to drag queen shows.
Probably not.
Probably not. And I see we have Laurel Eimer here with CD7. Laurel, hey, thank you for your time. Welcome to the show once again.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
We are good. We're good. Well, let me ask you to weigh in on this real quick. I'm sure because I know I'm handing you a softball question, but you just strike me as a kind of conservative would say, I don't think it's a good idea to take 5-year-olds to drag queen shows and let them stuff money in the G-strings. I mean, I'm assuming that would be your position, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that if I did that, they'd arrest me on the spot. The hypocrisy of the whole thing is insanity. So you know that the Denver Botanic Gardens is doing this during Pride Month. Good.
What?
So right now, actually, I think they've pulled it down, but just a little while ago on the Denver Botanic Gardens website is Drag Queen Storytime. And it says, dress up as your favorite pollinator and join us for a very special story time in honor of Pride and Pollinator Month. Drag Queen Storytime with our wonderful host, Pollinator, will take place in Classroom 1. Storytime will be followed by a runway show where you can fly, flutter, and flaunt your pollinator persona to celebrate the wonderful diversity of the pollinator population.
Oh my God.
And the wonderful diversity of people, too. Now, let's not get too gruesome on live air, but last time I checked, what's a pollinator?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I absolutely agree. I think we all know what they're talking about. Okay. I don't want to see...
I don't want to see anybody pollinating anything in
pollinating
public.
Parts.
No public pollinating. I mean, you can urinate in Denver because you can do whatever you want, leave feces and needles and in Denver in DK. But I certainly don't want to take my children to a story time anywhere in public and see anyone doing these kind of acts. And And, you know, I have a really good friend who is a drag performer.
Right.
And he is one of the strongest, staunchest voices against this that you'll ever hear. Yeah. And he's fabulous. And he, drag is an entertainment business to him, but it is for adults only. Okay. Right. It's just like some of the other things that adults choose to participate in. It is not for children. It's never designed for children, and it never should be. And this is disgusting and despicable that we would allow anyone to take their children to something like this. I mean, can't take your children to see the Chippendales. You can't take them to the local strip club. You can't take them to Shotgun Willie's.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop.
All right. Well, let me
talk to us about your campaign. You got a great endorsement
from Patrick Neville.
Patrick Neville, which I think is one of the more important.
And
ones.
We endorse you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Tancredo.
And Tom Tancredo. And I got an endorsement of a weekend from Veterans for America First. I was really honored with that. If you look through my endorsements on my website, my endorsements do reflect the grassroots of Colorado and a handful from the nation, because I am the grassroots candidate. There's a distinct difference between grassroots and AstroTurf.
Mm-hmm.
My endorsements and my support is homegrown. It is not bought and purchased somewhere else.
Right.
And I think that sets me apart from the other candidates in this race.
And I think, you know, and I'll say this, I mean, Eric Odlin was nice and he came on our show last week. And when Chuck asked him, do you have any grassroots and people endorsing you? Because he had Eli Bremmer, who is not a grassroots. I mean, he didn't know.
Right.
We didn't want to, that kind of says something right there. You either
if you do not know as a candidate, I know every single person that has endorsed me. I know them personally. I have a relationship with them. I have met them. I have spoken with them. I've spent time with them. I didn't buy and pay for these endorsements. If you do not know who's endorsing you, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
And I think that the electorate needs to be paying attention to the red flags that are springing up all around us.
Well, talk about a little bit, if you could, the Western Conservative Summit. You were there, I think, was it good? I mean, we did not go. We had all kinds of other stuff going on. But I think it's good. They need, I think, more people like you, grassroots people there.
They had everything.
They even had Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
And she was fabulous. Hmm. She was fabulous. Her speech was amazing. She got multiple standing ovations. She was warmly received. You know, and the only other Democrat that has ever spoken at the WCS, amazingly enough, is Jared Polis.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. But she had the guts to come on that stage and to address us. And she talked about freedom and the Constitution and how the Democrats and Joe Biden and this administration have strayed so far.
Right.
And even she understands that. But I think it was fabulous. The new venue at the Gaylord is amazing.
Okay.
It is a little bit expensive. And I think that was a drawback, because I think it did make it slightly more of an establishment event, just because a lot of the grassroots people were not able to afford to go. And so that was maybe a little bit of a drawback. But all in all, I think it was fabulous. It was fantastic speakers. Kayleigh McEnany and Sarah Huckabee Sanders were fabulous. And our own Biff Gore was there. He's fantastic as always. Benny Johnson, fantastic. So it was a great weekend when we had a tremendous amount of support come through our booth. And we secured many more endorsements over the weekend that we will be rolling out this week. And they're all grassroots.
Well, and now, so the ballots are mailed today for the primary, and you're in CD7. And one of the things I think that's really important about CD7 is I think that's a winnable seat, particularly the Democrats have one of the most radical, progressive, extreme candidates that you could have. How are things going? I always like to ask you guys, what are people talking about?
I know
about?
The assembly was a little disappointing for you, because I know you hope to come out on top of the ballot, but you seem to have recovered well.
Yeah, well, you know, there was some backroom shenanigans going on at the assembly, to be honest. And, you know, whatever, if that's the way that people think they need to be to win, then that's on them. I am who I am. I don't need to put on any pretense for anybody. You'll either like me or you won't. It's that way. So we're doing fantastic. We have got a great network on the ground. We've got a great team making phone calls throughout the district. We've got events coming up tomorrow night. We're going to be in Custer County at an event in Custer. So if anyone's down south, come join us in Custer County. That event's up on our website. We'll be doing a series of Get Out the Vote rallies coming in the next couple of weeks. We've got a meet and greet coming up in Broomfield. I believe there's another possible debate that's being scheduled for Jeffco. That date has not been finalized yet. So we are
all over.
Yeah, we're everywhere. And and I still work for a living. So I'm not a self-funded candidate. I'm not a millionaire. I work every single day at a real job. And then I leave that job and I campaign for the people in this district because that's what's important. And we need this kind of representation. We need a real person who brings real common sense values to Washington, because we cannot continue to be led by elitists who don't understand what the rest of us are suffering with. The rate of inflation, the price of gas, it's out of control.
Yeah,
I would think that Tim Reichert coming in on this, he also petitioned on, not also, he petitioned on, is advantageous to you because, he and Eric would appeal to a similar type voter, yeah. And they may well split that vote, and exactly. You can take the grassroots and come out victorious, possibly.
Yeah, and so the most important thing really that people can do is if you support me, then share that with your friends and your family. Make sure that people are making an educated decision when they vote. This is the most important ballot they're going to put out. This race is vital. We must win this seat. It's the only opportunity that we've had in 16 years, and it's the best opportunity we've had in 50 years. And this may not come again. And we cannot let a radical leftist lead us from Washington for Colorado. This is a dangerous decision.
Well, and again, you look at, and I've become convinced, and I think we're going to do a whole show on this more and more, that you look at, so for instance, Joe Biden today, gas prices are high. He keeps saying, it's Putin's fault. So what does he do today? He changes the ethanol distribution percentage, right? Which means really that gas, not only is your car going to run worse, but gas prices are going to go up. Corn prices are going to go up. Everything's going to go up. You cannot, to me anymore, pretend like you're just a victim of circumstances. This is deliberate what they're trying to do. And I think that's why, we need people like you, not somebody who's going to go along and get along. And we need people who say, no, it stops here, right? We're not going to let you destroy our country, destroy our economy, destroy our kids anymore. We need to start going the other way.
Well, and this whole thing that we started the show with, this drag queen, right. This agenda, this is purposeful to destroy generations of children. They're doing it in our education system every day. And if they're not successful enough there, now they're going to indoctrinate you through this drag queen story hour. When they control children in America, they control the world. And this is purposeful. And we must stand up as parents in this country, and we must take back our children. Our children are our gifts from God. They are not the property of the government. They're not the property of the school system. They are ours. And we need to protect them with everything we have. And I think that's one of the most important things that's going to come to play in this election. And I believe that that's how we win the primary, and that's how we win in November, because I will stand with those parents toe to toe every day, just like I've been doing in Jeffco for over 6 years, standing up every day with the people in my community. And I'm not going to stop.
No, and that's one of the reasons, that's why we support you, because this isn't something that you just started talking about this election cycle. You've been out there doing this when you were not getting any attention for it, when nobody was voting for you, you weren't running anything. You were doing it all along because it was the right thing to do. Let me give you the opportunity. Your website, where can people find out more about you, more about your event? Because the rubber's hitting the road here.
It is, yeah. LaurelEimerForCongress.com, all spelled out. Go there. You can see our events. You can reach out. Please follow us on social media. Share our information far and wide. If you can help, either on the ground or on the phones, if you want to host a meet and greet, we have basically 3 weeks. And we have an opportunity here, and we intend to win this thing, and we mean it. And we will be the candidate that will stand the ground of the platform for the Republican Party every day. I will not waver. I will not move to the middle. And I will not move to the middle after the primary when I win. I will stay exactly where I am today. I'm not going to move to the middle to gain support, because that's what everybody says you have to do. That's exactly why Republicans have lost elections for the last 10 years. And you will not get that when you vote for me.
All right. Wish you the best.
Yeah, Laurel. Thank you very much. Keep us in touch. Okay. Anytime we can help, let us know. All right. Thank you, guys. Laurel Eimer there in CD7. And ballots go out today. So
we'll have Bob Lewis, who's taking on Ken Buck.
Oh, here's
later in the week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here's from Dr. Donna. Anyone remember her quote about AstroTurf? What she said is there's a difference between grassroots and AstroTurf. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. That was a good one. And so, I'm going to read some of the comments. Now, you guys, we got about 10 minutes left to open it up because I do want to talk about it and get your thoughts. And if you want to, if you're on Zoom, you want to unmute yourself, you can go ahead and do that. And, you know, like Charlene does, raise your hand or just go ahead and unmute. Oh, this is what Laura said. I am grassroots, not AstroTurf. Mm-hmm. And she is. And then if you want to call in 888-627-6008, but I think this isn't just like a slow, slippery slope kind of thing. You know, the drag queen stuff, what's Biden doing? On one hand, he wants to fly to Saudi Arabia to try to get them to increase their oil production. And then on the other hand, he changes the ethanol distribution to make gas prices go up.
Well, he also told Venezuela they can import oil too. Europe, so that'll prop up that incredibly hideous.
Right. And so you can't anymore, you can't just say, well, this was not planned. I think it is planned. And I'll go so far, you know, you got the Bilderbergs people, you've got the Davos people. I mean, is there a group of people meeting? I think there is. I mean, we saw it in that one, was it the Times Magazine quote where they talked about they all got together, all the elites, all of the CEOs, all the billionaires got together and said, we got to stop Donald Trump. And they came up with a plan. And they did. Right. And the plan is I think it's to destroy the country and then we have to go back to them. I mean, I think the baby food shortage, right? You take a look at that, the baby formula shortage, how much of an accident was that? You got to wonder, really? I mean, everyone was talking about it. It seems like everyone knew it.
Well, I think that's going to cost Biden more votes than he knows.
Well, I think what they want to do instead with food prices, right? They could be doing things to make it better and they don't. And I know you're going to be like, Julie, you have really gone down the rabbit hole this time. But I do think the conservative Treehouse guy had a good article up where a column, and I agree with him. He said, no, it's on purpose. What they want to do eventually is to say, you know what we need to do, guys, because food prices are so high. Yeah, we need to federalize food.
In fact, Buttigieg did. So we need to federalize it. And that's their solution to everything. Just have the federal take it over and do an even worse job, which they always do.
Well, look what they did here with the baby formula. But I mean, that's the idea. So they will then buy the food at a good price and then they'll resell it to us. Now, isn't there a word for that? When the government takes over the means of production, and that hasn't worked too well in the rest of the world. But I think, don't think for a second that's not on purpose. And I think in the meantime, then you do the drag queen stuff. And then maybe that just gets everybody distracted. Or I think it just erodes the moral base of the society. And it makes you think that you can't have a moral base, right? If you speak up and say, well, I disagree with that. They're like, if you're on the wrong side of the Twitter mob, there's something wrong with you. This is from Laurel. And by the way, Laurel, everybody is saying thank you. Follow the money of FEC to find out how much candidates are funded. However much the money is dark money and that's untraceable and super PAC. Yeah, and that's all bad. You're right. If you can't figure out who the donors are, that's bad. Right. This is from Stephen. Bolshevik Democrats are like raccoons. What they don't tear up, they crap on. None of this is an accident. Government does not do anything well except take our money and our rights. Exactly. The dark money is untraceable for a reason. And then Leo, do you think we could do a whole show on Cloward Piven? What's that? Mm-hmm. What's that? Cheers to you, Stephen. Great comment. Leo, I'm not sure what you mean. I'm one of those persons who never knows that kind of stuff. Do you see that?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Okay. Leo, are you making a joke too, Leo? Was this a blonde moment here that I'm having?
I don't know what it refers to.
Okay. He's not real. Email me. Okay. Thank you. Because I think that's the kind of thing. And I'm beginning to think that Republicans are getting that, because I noticed Jim Jordan over the weekend was on some talk shows, just the news, saying, you know, what the Democrats are doing is not an accident. It's by design. And I think that is not only is it true, but don't you think, Chuck, that's a pretty smart kind of tactic, too, because Biden wants everyone to think he's just kind of the befuddled, kindly old uncle. And even though
apparently he's getting mad about his bad PR and wants his White House to do more about it. And he just go, you know, food prices, gas prices, everything, the border, you know, you can't just do a PR campaign. You actually have to do some something that
you
helps
have to make
people.
It better. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, I want a better PR campaign. Well, okay, good luck.
Good luck with that. Well, and again, that's what the Democrats are trying. We'll briefly talk because the January 6th committee, they really did, the Democrats and Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney was saying, oh, you won't believe it. We've covered this deep, wide conspiracy going all the way to Trump. It's like, yeah, there was a deep, wide conspiracy, all right. It involved the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi. The FBI, bunch of FBI informants, confidential informants. There was conspiracy. Right. Had nothing to do with Republicans, though.
Well, it's going to be interesting. You know, they know they have to put on a show. This is one of their few last times before the midterms that they can potentially change the story. I just don't think they're going to be able to. I just think, you know, Liz Cheney is not someone who Democrats like, and maybe they like her now, just like the Lincoln Project or something. But I think they're going to push as hard as they can. CNN, MSNBC, New York Times. So they're all, you know,
And I think they're overpromising. I think Paul Sperry, who is with Real Clear Investigations, is also doing a report on this. And he had out there today that in spite of interviewing thousands of people, thousands of pages of documents, they found actually no evidence of any kind of conspiracy, let alone a conspiracy that went to the top, which we all knew. Again, the only conspiracy, and I think Molly Hemingway has just done a great job with this and some of her reporting, there really was with the federal, I mean, you know, they let the people, the Capitol Police let people in.
They refused to bring the troops in, you know, the National Guard was supposed to, Nancy Pelosi refused that. And
Revolver.News has done a great job, too. If you go back and do some searches of them, you know, they show the video of some of the instigators who were all informants, who were connected to the FBI, steering people in, urging people, you know, Ray Epps, people like that, right? It was not a Donald Trump conspiracy.
All right, let's go to Karen Cadline online, too. Hello, Karen.
Hey there.
Hey.
I just didn't have time to get on Zoom, so I thought I would throw in what the Cloward Piven strategy is.
Okay, thank you.
It's Francis Fox Piven and Richard Clower, who were both professors at Columbia School of Social Work, and I'm old enough that they were there when I was going to Columbia School of Social Work. I did not take classes with them, but very, very quickly, the strategy is to overwhelm the system with welfare until it collapses so they can put in socialism and Marxism. They were absolute Marxists, and it's very important to talk about that. And I just love that Julie is now saying, she sounds like me. She's saying, yes, it's deliberate. Yes, it's on purpose. And you're not a conspiracy theorist for thinking so, because they've just been meeting in Davos to tell you that's exactly what they have in mind. They must destroy America because America is what's standing in their way to global socialism. That's the sad thing.
Well, and you've been, like, no, stay there, because I mean, I don't know if you saw the comment, but our Pete Buttigieg's interview where he was talking about, you know, he really did say maybe it's time that the federal government take over the food industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, after they force in Ukraine, they force fertilizer prices up, they force fuel prices up, they deliberately do all of those things. And then they're like, oh, sorry about the inflation thing. I think they don't care. They want inflation. They don't care that it's hurting people, because they want people to say, yeah, why don't you guys buy Fritos and then keep them at a reasonable
price? I'll go you one better. They create the crisis so they can hand you their nightmaric solution.
They
create the crisis. It is, as Chuck says, the Reichstag fire. They're always doing that. That's the only way it makes any sense. And as far as the way you began the show, it's an atrocity to corrupt children. And I'm delighted that Dave Williams is taking this on, because this is flat out, straight up child abuse. It is the corruption of children. Can you imagine 10 years ago if they said, you know what, we're going to start showing X-rated pornography movies to 5-year-olds?
Right. Oh, exactly.
Would that have happened? It's right. It's insane, and they're bullying people not to say anything because whomever they bully to shut up, that's exactly the lie they're trying to push.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Karen, thank you for that. And thank you for explaining that and educating us. Leo, we'll look into that. Thank you. Listen to Karen's show.
Yeah.
Karen has shows.
Yeah, Sharon.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Karen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Karen. Hey, and I saw, TJ, I don't know, I saw Mark Poff is entering the waiting room. If we could get him up, he's going to be filling in for us on Wednesday. Rev has a golf tournament that we're going to be at. We're being golf parents this whole summer, really. So there. Hey, Mark, what do you got coming up on Wednesday?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Columbine. My good buddy John St. Augustine was actually did the reinvestigation of Columbine. So we're going to try to compare Columbine a little bit with the current school shooting. John has a lot of insights about what happened back then. And this is something that I talked about last time, is when the grieving's over, the lawsuits are going to be flying.
And
there was actually some parents, or one set of parents, that thought that the cops may have actually shot their kid at Columbine. And so John was asked to do this reinvestigation, and a group from El Paso County to determine and show that it was not
right
law enforcement that shot him. But we're going to talk about that and gun violence and some other things. And I'm sure with Biden being president, there'll be something between now and Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole 48 hours. God knows.
How many things you could screw up in that short period of time?
All right.
So,
all right.
That's great. Look forward to it.
All right. Well, and we run out of time now, too. So thank you. Perfect timing.
Perfect ending.
Perfect ending there. Everybody, Mark Poflin, and thank you to everyone on Zoom. Thank you to Dave Williams and Laurel Eimer.
And we'll have Bob Lewis on Friday, who's running against Ken Buck. You know, if it works as it usually does, establishment wins everything. But maybe this time this will be different.
Maybe this time it'll be different. Of course it will be different. Of course it will be different. Don't listen to Chuck. It will be different.
That's better than absolutely.
That's true. That's Chuck's being optimistic here.
It is a being optimistic.
All right, everybody.
Take care. We'll see you on Friday and listen to Mark Poff on Wednesday for us. Take care.